The Force Field is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
From Charlotte, North Carolina, for IT service providers, it's The Force Field with Rick Savoia. And now, here is your host, Rick Savoia.
Greetings, providers. Welcome to the unofficial podcast for IT service providers, The Force Field. I am your host, Rick Savoia, and this is the show that discusses the topics and issues related to the business of tech. Today we'll talk with an IT service provider who built a successful business working through web-based service platforms and find out how he makes it profitable. We'll also read some of your comments and emails from inside the Force Field. Our comment line is open to all listeners 24/7 at 407-278-5698. That's 407-278-5698. Or you can call in via Skype at Savoia Computer if you'd like to record a comment for the show. The Force Field is advertiser-supported, so you can hear it free. You can help support this episode of The Force Field by checking out our sponsors at www.theforcefield.net. Thanks for supporting our advertisers because you help keep the podcast going and The Force Field online. I really appreciate your support. The last decade saw the rise of the internet-based IT service platform. Companies such as OnForce, FieldNation, and WorkMarket leaped onto the web with promises of cheap labor for buyers and lucrative work orders for techs. 10 years later, the first promise was fulfilled. But what about the second? Well, that depends on who you talk to. Many techs do not trust or even like the platforms. Some are quite passionate about their position. They complain about low-paying work, low-skilled technicians who perpetuate the low pay by accepting it without question, and deadbeat buyers who don't pay it in full or at all when the work is done. In their view, the online service platforms have made it difficult or even impossible to become profitable to work on their systems and on their terms. Dave Hayden has a different point of view. Dave owns Computer 911, performing contract work almost exclusively for national IT service companies and web-based service platforms. He built his business on platform work, and, contrary to what some may think, his business is profitable. Today we'll talk with Dave and find out how he does it. We'll learn how he got started with the platforms, why he builds relationships with the companies that route the work through them, and how you can make platform work profitable too, as we learn his secrets of working for the platforms. And we're talking with Dave Hayden. Hi, Dave. Welcome to the Force Field.
Hey, Rick. Thanks for inviting me.
Thanks for coming back. We've had you on a few episodes back during the panel discussion. And you had some very interesting things to say about the platforms at this time. I want to follow up on that and actually ask you, because you have some experience, quite a bit of experience working for service platforms over the year, and wanted to pick your brain a little bit and see what we can find out how others can profit from working for service platforms. But first, tell us a little bit about yourself and your business.
Sure. I think my business is a little bit unusual in that at this point I'm really focusing on national companies providing local service, both on platforms and off of platforms. I think a lot of techs are using the platforms to fill in work or to, you know, bolster their volume of work, but I don't hear too many techs that that are really concentrating on it as opposed to other service outlets.
So you do a little bit of both, and you work for some platforms, and you're building your own client base as well.
Well, actually, I'm not focusing on the local clients much at all. I did do that early on, and for me, I found that really distracting. Both focusing on platform buyers and off-platform national customers and local customers too. And I know that does work for a lot of technicians, but for me that was kind of problematic. I was constantly having to shift focus, and it was very exhausting. So I do mostly, national companies providing local service, either on or off platforms.
Okay, so you do a lot of contract work for national contractors as well.
Yes.
Okay. How long have you been working the platforms?
I started with OnForce in 2005, 2006. So it's been about 8 years now. Before that, I worked for HP doing support for their printer technicians. I got laid off from that job, and so I wound up doing some OnForce work, and pretty quickly I hooked up with a national company doing HP support for State Farm, and it just kind of took off like a rocket.
Now, OnForce isn't the only platform that you do work for. What are some of the other platforms that you use?
I work with OnForce, of course, Field Nation, and Work Market. I tried Field Solutions, but I didn't really care for how it was set up and the pay rate and the idea that they invite you to underbid the next technician. And for a lot of issues, I just walked away from that.
Mm-hmm. Now, you do a lot of work for internet-based service platforms. What percentage of your annual revenue comes from platform work as opposed to working straight for nationals?
It varies from month to month, but I would say I do about 50 to 60% for, the different platforms. And then the most of the rest is for direct national customers.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are a lot of techs who use these platforms, and some of them don't consider it as profitable for them compared to servicing their own customers. I've heard a lot of feedback from some techs, and of course a lot of techs in the Forest Field forums that have looked down on platform work, and really they consider it very low-paying work. And granted, there are a lot of work orders that are run through these platforms, and I've received a few of them in my day, that, $30, $25. I saw one the other day for $18 an hour. And really, for all intents and purposes, most people can't even really live off of that, much less run a business taking in $18 an hour. But a lot of these techs just don't consider it that profitable. But there are other techs that seem to do quite well taking work orders through these web-based service platforms. And some of them seem to be making quite a bit of money. What are they doing differently that makes it profitable for them?
It's a great question. I mean, there are quite a few techs who platform work is either a big part of their business, or if not a big part, a significant part, along with their local customers. For me, I got hooked up with a good company on OnForce to begin with, and I got a lot of work orders put in, finished, and I think a reputation established, and I think that helped me quite a bit in connecting up with other buyers that were good, because like you said, there are a ton of low-ball buyers that are just looking for a warm body, and if they're only willing to pay 20-30 bucks an hour, like you said, that might be okay for somebody looking for a part-time job, but it's not going to cut it if you're trying to make a living or trying to have a successful business. But I found there are a good number of buyers that are willing to pay, you know, decent rates. Not anything that would be considered super high, but $50, $60, $70 an hour, and they're going to send out consistent work, and they're, you know, not looking to pawn off problems on the technician. They're partnering with the technician so that you you know, are not walking into problem sites all the time. And you know, if you're able to hook up with those type of buyers, CompuVision, you know, and I'm just trying to think off the top of my head, but you know, there are the better buyers are consistent. They treat you well. They pay a decent rate. They send you a flow of work, and that's very helpful.
So what you're saying is, it's really a matter of sort of picking and choosing the buyers that you accept work orders from, and then sort of just sticking with those buyers and developing a relationship with those specific buyers for continuous work.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a real must, is to develop a relationship with the buyers that are going to pay a decent rate and are going to treat you decently.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know there are some techs that do a mix of platform work and their own customers, and some of them are able to juggle having both, because there are some logistical issues with that. I mean, you can pick up a work order one day and it says to be here at a certain day of time, and you have to make sure that you've got that time free and clear. And if something happens and things change, or the job goes longer than expected, you need to sort of be able to be flexible enough to work around that, but without alienating your own customers in the process. And, you know, vice versa. If you're taking care of your own customers and you have a job coming up, that becomes a little bit sticky sometimes. But there are some techs who are able to successfully work around all of that. And for that reason, some of them can do pretty well using the platforms as filler work during slower periods, per se. And I take it that can work for you as well when you're dealing with directly with the nationals.
Yeah, I mean, the key with the nationals that pay better is when they have a job in your area that needs to be taken care of, they need you there, and they need it resolved quickly. Usually there's not a lot of advance notice, so if you are booked up solid ahead of time, you know, that's great. You must have a thriving business, but it's going to be tough to develop good relationships with quality buyers if that's the case.
I see. Have you encountered any situations where that became a real issue for you, where you maybe picked up a work order and you already had a job with a national working directly for them, and having to juggle those two events?
Yeah, I don't know if everybody's like this, but when I have good work come in, I find it really hard to turn it down. It's, you know, almost like taking a hit to the body or something when you have to turn down good paying work. But yeah, I mean, you develop sometimes very full days, and you know, you work long hours, and you've got to be willing to do what it takes to get everything done. And you know, I hear techs that basically only have local customers. I hear them run into the same thing. I mean, you know, everybody seems to call at one time, and you've got to do what you have to take care of your customers.
Yeah, it seems one moment nothing's going on, so you figure you can take some of these work orders, and the next second, boom, you're slammed.
Yeah. And the better paying work is, like I said, it tends to be, you know, same day, next day. If you book yourself up with work that's not good paying, then you're going to miss out on the best stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. So what are some of the tips that you have for techs who want to get into doing platform work and think that it might be for them?
Well, obviously, you've got to have some technical background, some technical skills.
Yeah, that goes without saying.
Yeah. But assuming that, uh, you you've got to do two things I can think of. One, you have to build up a work history on the platform, because that's how buyers are going to judge you. They're going to see how many jobs you've completed and what kind of rating you've got, and they're going to judge you largely based on that. Mm-hmm. The other thing is to hook up with buyers that like we talked about before, that are quality buyers who are going to pay at least a decent rate and are, you know, not going to expect magic out of you when the problem's not your fault.
And I take it that it's a good idea to really check these buyers out first before bidding on some of these jobs, just to make sure that you're covered, because you can very easily spend 2 or 3 hours on a job and then essentially not get paid for it after the fact.
Yeah, that's certainly possible. And some of it, you know, you learn as you go. You know, I tend to, with a new buyer that I haven't heard anything about, I tend to give them a chance and even take, you know, a work order at a rate lower than I normally would to you know, find out how they are. But if you've heard that a specific buyer is a low baller, or that they're causing problems for technicians, I mean, at least personally, I just completely avoid them. Mm-hmm. And there are several nationals that, while they have work volume, they just don't seem to have respect for their technicians. And I can think of one where I did a bank branch install for them, and the on-site buyer for the bank was very happy with the work I did, and told me he was going to ask for me on at their next branch. And the buyer that I was doing the work for, when the next branch came up, they sent me an exclusive, but they gave me 3 minutes to accept it. And when I was busy on other work, they went ahead and mass routed it. Well, that's a buyer I don't want to work for.
Well, I can understand that. Have you had that happen a lot in your time on these platforms?
Had a buyer not treat the technician with respect?
Yes. Has it happened to you? And I mean, there are some techs out there that complain a lot about lowball buyers, basically, is what they're called. And from listening to them, you'd think that every buyer on the platform was a lowball buyer. And, of course, that's not the case. But it seems to be an issue that is quite prevalent out there on these platforms. Have you found that to be a real issue for you personally?
Well, there's certainly a ton of lowball buyers out there. And, you know, I think technicians that complain about that, you know, they're right in saying that. But like you just said, the mistake they make is assuming that most or all buyers are that way. Mm-hmm. I've been able to find quite a few buyers that send me a flow of work, pay a decent rate, and treat me well. I've also found a situation where a buyer will pay me more than the market rate. I did one fix for a company, and it involved 1 hour of work. It was about 15 miles from my home, and it was, like I said, 1 hour, it was $350. I don't know too many technicians who charge $350 for an hour of work.
Yeah.
But that was a nice payday.
Yeah, that sounds like it. Yeah. That, I haven't seen too many of those come through any of the platforms in my days working on force. And, you know, I have had my share of good days and bad days with work orders from companies such as OnForce. And that's why I didn't want to, you know, I don't want to go out and give everybody my take on this so much, because, yeah, I had some, well, let's just say I had some issues with OnForce in terms of how some of those things were handled. I had some of those issues as a buyer as well. But overall, I would have to say that what I saw wasn't really quite as bad as what some techs in some of the forums and news groups make it out to be all the time. And I know that there are some people who are definitely against doing platform work anymore who have been completely burned by it. But there are those who are proponents of these platforms and do quite well with them. So with that disparity, there's something there. You know, where's the truth? The truth's out there somewhere in the middle. The truth is out there in the middle.
Well, and I think that's a good point. I think there are technicians, maybe lots of technicians, that have been burnt by buyers and by platforms. And, you know, their experience is valid. It's not that they're in any way wrong. But there are also, you know, quite a few technicians that get a decent income stream off of platforms. And, you know, some have built businesses around it. I can think of Steve Porter down in Florida and Chris Tiffany. You know, they've had good volume, you know, much more than I do. And, you know, so there is the good out there, too. And I get that if you want to see things as black and white, you know, you're either going to see platforms as being perfect or as being horrible. But, I mean, the reality is they're both. And, you know, there's an opportunity there for technicians who are flexible and can find the good and you know, work with it. But it's not for everybody, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, that is for sure. Well, so your first tip would be basically to sort of learn how to navigate the platforms, learn how to use them. And then the second tip would be to try some of these buyers and stick with the ones that work for you and avoid the others then.
Yeah, if a buyer has a horrible reputation, I mean, obviously skip them. But if you're unsure about a buyer or if they're a new buyer, you know, do a work order or a few work orders for them and try them out and see, you know. Sometimes you can hit it off with a project manager or a dispatcher, and you can get a lot of work pretty quick. You know, also, just because I dislike a buyer on the platform, you know, I found that a fair amount of buyers that I dislike, somebody else loves, and vice versa. Somebody else will love somebody, and I'll try them, and I'll, you know, in the back of my mind, I'll say, that's not a customer of mine. So I would say, you know, give any buyer that you think is at least decent, give them a shot, try a few work orders and see how they work out. You know, beyond that, you've got to build up a reputation, and you've got to develop contacts, and as you mentioned earlier, build a relationship with the buyers that are going to, you know, make your bread and butter.
Now, you just mentioned another point. There is that chicken and the egg syndrome with joining a platform, especially if you're new to that concept overall. You get a new tech in there. And I remember when I first joined OnForce, and that was back in 2004, I was on the platform for nearly 6 months before I got my first work order. And yeah. I was getting a little discouraged because I was thinking, well, you know, is this for real? Is it what it's cracked up to be? And then I received my first work order. I joined in May, received my first work order in October. And I thought, wow, I hope it's not going to be that long between every work order. But it took that long before I got the first one. And for some techs, there are some folks out there who've been on there longer than that before they received their first work order. What are some of the things maybe that they can do to kind of help get the ball rolling, so to speak?
Well, I can remember a while back when Brian Farmer was going from doing IT work part-time to full-time, and he needed some platform work to fill in on slow periods. He would mentioned that he would take work from buyers at a slightly lower rate than he normally would. So, I mean, that's certainly one thing that a technician can do. But if you're getting no work orders at all, I guess, you know, at some point you got to decide if you're in an area that has enough population or has enough workflow. You know, and I think for some technicians, if there really isn't the platform work in your area, or if it's just not something you're suited for, I think at some point you got to say, well, you know, this is not what I'm going to do. I'm going to concentrate on local customers, or I'm going to do you know, something else that I've got skills in, mm-hmm. at least part-time or something.
So it really is kind of the luck of the draw when you're first starting off, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, like I said, I did go through about 6 months with no work orders or very few, and then I hooked up with a Pomeroy to do the State Farm work, and that developed into a really good job for me.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other tips that you can think of that that might be useful for techs starting off doing platform work?
Well, I think you need to be flexible. You need to go into each situation realizing that when you get to the site, it's often not going to be exactly what was you know, mentioned in the work order. But, you know, you're there to solve the customer's problem, to do what the... I mean, you're ultimately the buyer is your customer, and you've got to do what they want you to do. But you want to solve both their problem and the customer's problem to the best of your ability. And, you know, you've got to have the tools on hand and be flexible to do that. Other than that, yeah, I guess I would say, you know, you need to be positive. You need to find the work that's there. I think Raiden mentioned once that he would take a site survey at just about any price because he could count on getting the install job and, you know, making good money there. And, you know, again, that's not something that some techs want to do, and I totally understand it. But seeing the opportunity and seeing the glass half full, I think that's one of the keys to being successful in platform work.
Well, Dave, it's been an interesting discussion. I hope it's given everyone some insight into the platforms overall. And I appreciate your time on the force field today. Our time's just about up, but before you go, can you mention you have a website? Mention your website.
Yeah, my company name is Computer 911, and my website is computer911online.com. And I'd also like to thank you, Rick. I mean, you provide a valuable service both with the Force Field Forum and also on the podcast you do. And I think all of us technicians appreciate it, you know, whether we're pro platform or not, you know, we appreciate the work you do.
Well, thanks, Dave. It's you guys that make the Force Field what it is. And I appreciate each and every one of you. I'm glad that you're there in the force field with me. We're all in this together.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, Dave, once again, thanks a lot for being on the force field again, and hopefully we can have you back on sometime again. We'll talk some more about platforms and anything else you want to discuss. You have a great day.
Thanks very much, Rick.
Bye. Thank now. You, Dave. Do you find working for nationals and service platforms more profitable than building your own customer base? Or is it better the other way around? Tell me what you think. Email your comments to comments@theforcefield.net. And now it's time for some comments from email and the Force Field forums. This one comes from Margaret. Rick, my compliments on the many great articles and podcasts on the Force Field. It is exactly the type of quality tech resource I've been looking for. And that's from Margaret. And Gage says, Rick, I just wanted to give you some feedback on episode 57 of your podcast. You sent out a message blast on Work Market and just wanted to let you know that, in doing so, you are getting a response. You now have a new listener in me, and Daniel Hand has a new Acrobo member. Keep up the good work. Our business isn't the most glamorous or interesting to most people, for that matter, but we are a community that is underserved and sometimes unnoticed, and it's nice to know that there are people like you working hard to open up the communication lines. And that's from Gage. Gage, thanks a lot. Those are really kind words. And that's one of our goals at the Force Field, is to help keep those communication lines open. Send your comments and feedback via email to comments@theforcefield.net, post them in our forums at theforcefield.net/forums, or tweet them to me on Twitter at @theforcefield, and I'll make sure they get on the show. If you'd like to hear the latest episodes of The Force Field on demand as soon as they arrive, all you need to do is subscribe. It's free. You can subscribe to The Force Field podcast on our website at theforcefield.net or through iTunes, Blueberry.com, and the Tech Podcast Network on your PC, Mac, tablet, or mobile phone. You can also listen to The Force Field on your Roku, on Viaway, or stream it on Stitcher. Well, folks, our time is up. I'd like to thank everyone for listening, my kids for allowing me to do this without interruptions, and my wife for just putting up with me. If you'd like to comment on the program, you can email me at comments@theforcefield.net or visit our website at www.theforcefield.net. Opinions expressed are those of the host and guests and do not represent theforcefield.net, Savoya Media, or advertisers. All music on the show is original and was written and performed by Brother Rancid and the Brand New Pygmies. The show is produced and distributed by Savoya Media. For The Force Field, I'm Rick Savoya. May The Force Field be with you.